I'm Liz Larson.
And I'm Bill McKenna.
And together, we created the Cogno Movement System. And we'd like to welcome you to the New Life Perspectives Radio Show,
where we're going to be sharing with you tools, tips, and ideas that are going to change your life.
Hello, hello in UK Health Radio Land. I'm Liz Larson, and I'm here with my friend,
Bill McKenna.
Hey, Bill McKenna. And we're the hosts of the New Life Perspectives Radio Show here on the UK Health Radio Network. We just also happen to be the co-creators of the Cogno Movement System. And it is our great honor to have as a guest today, Dr. Eben Alexander. Dr. Alexander.
Hello, Liz. How are you, Bill? Good to see you.
Oh my gosh, we're so thrilled to have you here. We just want to do a brief introduction of Dr. Alexander. Dr. Alexander is a Harvard Medical School neurosurgeon. And Dr. Alexander in 2008 had a traumatic brain event. We'll let him explain that to you, which led to him having a near-death experience and also returning with his whole body and whole brain. So the discoveries that Dr. Alexander has made are many, 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 but one of which is that the consciousness is not necessarily in the brain. So we have so many things we want to talk about today: NDEs, brain science, brain health, and what you can do today to actually have a healthier brain. So welcome, Dr. Alexander. And I know that Bill has that first question locked and loaded.
Oh my gosh. Well, the first question is, my gosh, you know, I've had the pleasure of reading your book and your first book, Proof of Heaven, and also seeing, you know, many of your other interviews, but absolutely fascinating. If you could tell people what you went through and how you died, how you came back and that experience, because it's absolutely remarkable, especially coming from a neurologist, you know, brain surgeons. I happen to have a friend that is a brain surgeon out of Cornell, and all of this stuff is verboten, is like, not going to talk about afterlife, anything spiritual, that is not acceptable. And near-death experiences, he had opened up the world, this other world, because he did it from the inside. So I find that just wonderful. Tell us.
All right. Well, Bill, thanks for that question. And I'll be kind of brief about it because we can focus on points that you want to focus on later. But basically, I'd spent the first 54 years of my life honing a very kind of conventional scientific worldview. And I thought I understood something about brain, mind, and consciousness. You know, I taught neurosurgery at Harvard Medical School for 15 years. And then I had the shock of my life. And that is 4:30 in the morning, November 10th, 2008. I suddenly became very ill, severe back pain, severe headache. Soon I lapsed into grand mal seizures and a deep coma. And in that deep coma, I was taken from my home by ambulance to the hospital where I worked for over 2 years at the time. And it was, it looked very dire. Going into coma over 3.5 hours, when I got to that ER, they did a lumbar puncture, found that my spinal fluid was thick with pus. And from then on, it was really downhill. They put me on a ventilator on 3 powerful intravenous antibiotics. Doctors estimated at the beginning of the week, I had a 10% chance of survival. By the end of the week, 7 days in coma, they estimated 2% chance of survival with no chance of recovery. And that's why on that Sunday morning, day 7 of coma, they were recommending stopping the antibiotics and just letting me go. Now, it turns out from my perspective, where I was, things were completely different. Now, one thing that's very important to point out here is my experience, as I describe in the book Proof of Heaven and in the many talks that are out there that I've given. I was amnesic. That's unusual for a near-death experience, but in retrospect, I came to realize why that was so critical for my acceptance of the experience. And by amnesic, I mean I had no memories of Earth, humanity, Evan Alexander's life. I had no language, none of the religious concepts, none of my scientific knowledge. Every bit of it was gone. Now, when I first came back to this world, I didn't even recognize loved ones at the bedside, my mother, my sisters, my sons, because that amnesia was still in effect. But literally over hours and a few days, it abated. All my language came back, memories of childhood. Over 2 months, all my semantic knowledge of cosmology, physics, every bit of it came back. But the thing that was most interesting was it was all rooted in an experience that was impossible by the tenets of modern neuroscience. The medical details of my case, not only as I presented in Proof of Heaven, but as presented in a medical case report that came out in September 2018, Journal of Nervous and Mental Diseases, by Dr. Surbhi Khanna, Lauren Moore, and Bruce Grace. And that case report went much further than I had gone in Proof of Heaven to make 2 points. One is that my brain was far too damaged, given the objective neurologic evidence of damage, to have had any kind of dream or hallucination. That's why it's so important to acknowledge this was a coma due to the meningitis. Out in the lay press, there's this myth that it was a medically induced coma. It was not. In fact, I went deep into coma before any sedative medications, and I came out of coma while I was still on heavy sedation doses. So you can throw that out the window. The magic to the scientific community is that the meningitis, and they had evidence that all lobes of my brain were involved full thickness, and that my brainstem was involved even from day one, there was no way that brain was going to conjure up some kind of dream or hallucination, much less the most rich, ultra-real, memorable, detailed, life-transforming experience of my whole life that occurred while I was deep in coma with no possibility of that brain creating consciousness. The other important thing the case report made crystal clear is that my recovery demands an explanation. My doctors weren't kidding when they said I was 2% chance of living, but no chance of recovery. And there's no precedent for my case in the medical literature. That's another reason it's so important. And in fact, when the doctors who wrote up the case report presented it to the peer review editors of Journal of Nervous and Mental Diseases, who demanded an explanation, they said, this is unprecedented. Nobody this sick with bacterial meningoencephalitis has a full recovery. And the doctors said, well, he did have a near-death experience, and we think that was important. And that was enough for the peer-reviewed scientific editors. That shows you the scientific world is waking up to the power of spirituality in healing. And it's high time they did, because, you know, we've used placebo effect and other things we can talk about later, which all just show mind over matter and the ability we have to heal. Now, a very quick summary of what happened deep in the coma, and then we can take off in whatever direction you like. But it all started in what I call the earthworm my view, a very primitive course on responsive realm, like being in dirty jello. I was rescued from that after what seemed like an eternity because I didn't have any memory moment to moment, but rescued by a slowly spinning white light that came packaged with a perfect musical melody. And that white light served as a portal or a wormhole that ushered me up out of that ugly earthworm eye view world into a rich, ultra-real realm that I call the Gateway Valley. And this is the surprise. This is the kind of thing you often hear about in NDEs. It was much more real than this world. That's hard to put into words. And it's another piece that makes it impossible to explain, given the damage to my brain, to try and pretend that my brain created all this. This was done because we're conscious in spite of our brain. And when we die and leave the physical body and brain behind, our conscious awareness actually expands unfettered and is greatly, it's out there where we overlap with other minds, with loved ones who are still alive. We overlap with the minds of loved ones who have left the physical plane. All of that comes together in that mental spiritual realm. And so in that Gateway Valley, lots of beautiful earth-like features, sparkling waterfalls, crystal blue pools, lush vegetation everywhere, flowers, blossoms, buds on trees, all this rich blooming and everything, no sign of any death or decay. It's kind of like Plato's world of ideals, but for the individual soul going through soul growth. That's where we would go through things like a life review, you know, your life flashing before your eyes. That concept goes back at least 2,400 years to the writings of Plato, where people who visit the afterlife describe these reviews of their life. And the interesting thing is it's not from your perspective. It's from the emotional perspective of those around you who were influenced by your actions and thoughts. So a life review is an important indicator that we're really sharing one mind. We're all part of one consciousness. And that's why to hurt another is to hurt oneself. The golden rule is written into the fabric of the universe through these life reviews. Now, those who've read Proof of Heaven will realize I was accompanied on this journey in that earth Gateway Valley. I was a speck of awareness on a butterfly wing. There were millions of other butterflies, vast formations, and I wasn't alone. There was a beautiful young woman, and she was dressed in the same simple garb as all the thousands of beings that I saw dancing, joy and merriment down below in this heavenly scene. And her message to me, I think, was the central message I was to bring back to this world. She delivered it telepathically. She never had to say a word in that realm. It all comes as pure conceptual flow. In fact, the words weren't there until I wrote them up much later, weeks after coming out of coma. But the words that I wrote to explain the concepts that came from her, you are deeply loved and cherished forever. You have nothing to fear. You are deeply cared for. And I cannot tell you how reassuring and comforting that was at that time. At any rate, this was not the end of the journey, because the angelic choirs above that were fueling the incredible festivities of this level ushered me up to higher and higher levels. I remember all of four-dimensional space-time collapsing down, all of a different spiritual timing, what I call deep time or meta time, which allows for many of the bigger aspects of this, because Earth time is not a primary marker of progress. There's a deeper understanding of it through this concept of deep time. And that's when I ascended what I call a core. The core was the sanctum sanctorum of the divine. I became one with that God force. And of course, this is not an ego thinking it is one with God. It is higher soul, an extraordinary thing to go through. And other NDEers have described a similar oneness with divinity in that kind of core realm. And I would cycle through these realms, because without explanation, I would tumble back down from that core realm into the most primitive realm. And I worked my way back up. This happened many times. All this is fully told in Proof of Heaven and in other talks I've given. So I don't want to dwell on it too much. But the bottom line is, towards the very end of this journey, I was kind of banished from that core realm. As they told me every time I went back there, you're not here to stay. We'll teach you many things. And there came a time when I tried to use the memory of the musical notes of the melody to conjure up that portal to take me up out of the earth for my view. And it didn't work anymore. They told me that would happen. But yes, it was real. And now I knew I was headed somewhere else. And that's when I saw thousands of beings going off around in the distance, heads bowed, arms like this. This murmuring energy was the same beautiful feeling of connectedness and being home that I had felt in the Gateway Valley and the core early in the journey. But now I was feeling it down here with all of these beings. That's what I call the power of prayer when I wrote it all much weeks later. And then there were six faces that appeared. They served as veridical time anchors. Very important to place the majority of the coma journey between days 1 and 4 or 1 and 5 of my 7-day coma. I explain all that timing business in Proof of Heaven, and also Living in a Mindful Universe, the real sequel. And those faces were important, especially the sixth one. And that was a face of a 10-year-old boy. I did not recognize him at the time, but it was my son, Bond. That was Sunday morning, day 7 of coma. They just held the conference where the doctors had said, time to stop all care and let him go. Bond heard that. They tried to protect him from the worst news during the week, but he knew now things were much worse than he'd been told. He came running down the hallway, pulled open my eyelids, you know, that were taped shut. I'm on my ventilator. And I promise you, one eye there, one eye looking over there, neither pupil working. That's a very bad sign to anybody in medicine. I didn't see him with my eyes or hear him with my ears. I was far too gone from this world. But the message got through. He was pleading with me, Daddy, you're going to be okay. Daddy, you're going to be okay. And I didn't understand any of those words, but now everything mattered. This whole journey, I had thought this can continue, it can cease, doesn't matter. But now I realized I had a responsibility to another soul. And that is what demanded I come back. In fact, it was probably the only moment of terror in the whole experience, was realizing, oh my God, everything does matter. Here's this pleading soul. I've got to somehow get to that soul and do whatever I'm supposed to do. And that's what brought me back to this world, was my love for Bond. And I love that we named him Bond 10 years earlier, because he turned out to be my Bond to this earth. So I said, when I woke up, I had no idea who these beings around the bedside were, my mother, my sisters, my sons. I remember one of my sisters told me later, as I report proof of heaven, that I was sitting there like a little Buddha after they extubated me. And I was just looking around at everybody saying, all is well. All is well. There's nothing to worry about. And it was just this deep assurance. And she said it was so odd coming from me when the doctors had said I wasn't even going to be able to come back, you know, even if I were to survive this thing. So, and but it, I was in and out of a 36-hour crazy nightmare at that point. Explain all that in the book. The memories from the deep coma experience are sharp, crisp, vivid, alive, detailed today, exactly as they were when I woke up from coma. The 36-hour delusional nightmare after I woke up from coma and was interactive with family around me, but then kind of crazy, ICU psychosis, I don't remember those things. I'm glad I wrote them down way early on because that way I can compare. But the deep reality here is memories from this kind of experience are the kind of thing that stick with you for life. They're much more real than this world. They transform people. You have no fear of death. You come away with a much richer belief in connectedness and love that we're all in this together. It's kind of a universal message from near-death experiences. And with that, I will open it up to where you'd like to go next.
Okay, so let's take our quick break. We have to hear from the UK Health Radio Network. And when we come back, I have a question that I know everybody has already asked you, but need to ask it again. All right, UK Health Radio.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
And we're back with Dr. Eben Alexander having a fascinating conversation about his near-death experience. So, Dr. Alexander, I have to ask this because I know people who have not heard your story are thinking it. Did this experience match a religious belief that you already had?
Well, let's put it this way. The belief I came back with, which I think is probably the very dominant majority kind of set of beliefs of people who've been through an NDE, is the reality of the afterlife, of an infinitely loving God force at the core of the universe that is in many ways the source of our conscious awareness. I came back knowing that the optimal way to live my life and make choices in every day that I live is through showing unconditional love for my fellow beings. Love, kindness, compassion, mercy, acceptance, forgiveness when necessary, and also, of course, gratitude. These were writ large all through my experience. It's all about love, and this is not dependent on someone's prior belief system. There are other important things to mention here that are different from my prior religious beliefs. One very important is it was absolutely crystal clear to me that our souls come back again and again. It's a continual process of refinement as we ascend towards that oneness with the divine. It does not happen in one lifetime. And souls, we're all involved in this process, but there also is something called programmed forgetting. So that we're not meant to have full knowledge of what our higher souls know between lives, you know, in some of these deepest experiences, we're not meant to have all of that knowledge as we live these lives. And I suspect that has something to do with engaging with kind of the game of interacting here and learning and teaching in these mortal bodies and buying into that. But for example, the reincarnation literature, I knew nothing about the scientific literature before my coma. But in fact, UVA Division of Perceptual Studies, University of Virginia, and you can go to uvadops.org to learn a lot more about that. They've been studying past life memories in children for more than six decades now. More than 2,700 cases, 1,700 of those cases solved. So there's no question whatsoever from a modern scientific perspective that reincarnation is a real process. We just don't understand it. But one thing those doctors who investigate it will tell you is you have to harvest those memories from the children before age 5 or 6, because then the memories are covered over. As I said, programmed forgetting. We're not meant to carry those memories of past lives and between lives into adulthood. And there's also the what's known as amnesia of childhood, which is most of us as adults have trouble remembering things before age 5 or 6. And that all is part of the same package. But the reality is those memories can be retrieved through hypnosis, through meditation, through centering prayer, through epiphanies, through spiritual experiences, say the trauma of losing a loved one, things like that, often open the door to give us this much grander vision of our loved one still existing. And all of this has come together really in the last year with a tremendous amount of objective scientific information. For your audience, if they go to BigelowInstitute.org, you will find 29 essays available for free that were written last year to answer the question, what's the best scientific evidence for continuation of consciousness beyond permanent bodily death? And those 29 essays are written by people, all of whom had more than 5 years scientific experience doing research in the afterlife question. So it's no longer a question of, is the afterlife real? It absolutely is. BigelowInstitute.org, start reading, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. The evidence is overwhelming. But there are scientists out there who refuse to look at the evidence. That's about as anti-scientific as you can get. Why anybody ever asks them for their opinion, I have no idea. But the bottom line is the evidence is there for all of us. The afterlife is an absolute fact. And once you read those essays, you'll start seeing all the different directions people take to get there. But you'll not doubt the reality of the afterlife again.
So thanks for answering that. I have a personal experience with this. My son had pre-life memories before he came that were really, really vivid. Not fun for us as a family, but really, really vivid. So we got a chance to experience that. I want to shift gears just a little bit here. So we know that it's obvious from your experience and many, many others that the consciousness is not located in the physical brain. But it is believed that the physical brain, the body, the nervous system is needed to translate that information, like having a radio for a radio signal. So in your case, your brain had global damage, meaning the entire brain was affected. That's correct, right?
Yes.
And then you came back from that coma, your brain still had global damage. What's the explanation for that globally damaged brain returning, coming back online and regaining full function? Do you still have damage now?
That's exactly the question that those peer review editors were challenging the authors of the case report on my medical records about. How do you explain it? The explanation is a rich spiritual journey like this enables profound healing. Mm-hmm. There are other cases of people like me who have had a rich near-death experience that ended up healing what had driven them close to death. For example, Anita Morjani, who wrote the book Dying to Be Me, she knew when she had her NDE and decided to come back to this world that her cancer. Likewise, Dr. Neal, the orthopedic surgeon who wrote the book To Heaven and Back and other books beyond that. I presented with her many a time, and Mary Neal, she was kayaking in Chile back in the late 1990s, and her kayak got driven into the rocks, broke both her legs under boulders, underwater, more than 30 minutes. It was a warm water drowning. She was brought to the surface dead. they resuscitated her, and she ended up having a long but complete recovery, went back to orthopedic surgery, and of course, to sharing her spiritual journey. These spiritual journeys are what allow for this profound healing. We've known for ages, you know, medicine, we've used a placebo effect. It's the gold standard for assessing any new treatment modality for more than 6 decades now. And placebo effect is not just giving somebody a sugar pill to fix their headache. Placebo effect in its most profound form is an absolutely stunning example of mind over matter, of healing, soul over matter, spirit over matter, whatever have you. But, you know, answering prayers, becoming well, coming into wholeness. This is what happens when we have a rich, profound spiritual connection with the source of the universe. And that is what is becoming crystal clear with these kinds of episodes. And what I can tell you is through meditation, people can come to glean the very same deep knowledge about the spiritual realm as we do in NDEs. It demands a more regular practice of meditation. I meditate an hour or two a day. I use something called sacred acoustics, a form of binaural beat brainwave entrainment. But to me, it's a health maintenance. It's how I connect with that kind of higher aspects of the world, that infinitely healing God force with the guides and wisdom that I encountered in my NDE. I've developed a true open relationship with that. But I also know through the work that my partner, Karen Newell, and I do, she's the founder of Sacred Acoustics. We give meditation workshops all around the world. And I've come to realize that people can get the same benefits of an NDE through meditation, especially when you have a profound form of meditation like differential frequency brainwave entrainment, as in Sacred Acoustics. So it's really all about realizing the true power of mind over matter that we demonstrate, especially when it comes to healing, health, and wholeness.
So tell us about, the word that you use there, and I'm going to butcher it up, but differential brainwave entrainment, I'm sure I've partially butchered that, but tell us about that. And what it is, and how does it put you into this altered state of like connection with that love force, I guess, of the universe?
Excellent question. And it's fully covered in our third book, Living in a Mindful Universe. But to get cut right to the chase here, binaural beats is the phenomenon. They were discovered in the mid-1800s by a Prussian physicist. Then in the late 20th century, people found that if you listen to these binaural beats, and what it means, very simple concept, you put a pure tone into one ear, say 100 hertz as an example, 100 cycles per second, put 104 hertz in this ear. So a slight difference, and it works up to about a 25 hertz difference. But anything in that range, when you put a different frequency into the two ears, they collide in the lower brainstem. And it's a very important concept because every sound you've ever heard, and this includes every chant, anthem, hymn you might have heard that might have driven you into some kind of a transcendental or spiritual state, those are all processed up in the acoustic cortex of the temporal lobes. Those are circuits that have basically refined themselves over the last 2 to 3 million years in humans and in primates. Very different from what's going on with the binaural beats. Those sounds are actually being processed in the lower brainstem in a circuit that arose more than 300 million years ago, before mammals even walked this earth. Ancient circuit that's involved basically with localization through sound. So that circuit is active. When I hear a snap behind my head, that circuit is calculating the arrival time of sound going 1,000 feet per second to my two ears and telling me where the sound is behind me. That's the circuit that we're entraining with binaural beat brainwave entrainment. And what it does is it starts to modulate your lower brainstem. And according to modern neuroscience, the way consciousness and the brain kind of interact is you have an ignition system in the lower brainstem that 40 times per second fires up these now signals to modulate thalamocortical loops that connect the neocortex with the deeper thalamic structures. Don't want to get into any complexities around that because it gets pretty deep, but the bottom line is by modulating that ancient circuit, you end up modulating the whole intersection of consciousness with the brain and physical body. And that's what allows you to set it free, because that spiritual realm is not stuck in time and space. It's not in a here or a now. And it's not even the sense of self we find is in many ways not real as we explore more deeply into that. And these sounds enable you to basically separate conscious awareness. And it's something that happens kind of automatically for many people. But you just learn to ride the tones. You know, you can let your linguistic brain, that little voice in your head, it can make a statement, make a request, ask a question, but then you put it in timeout. Because what we're talking about here is when you liberate your consciousness to expand beyond the veil into this primordial mind, you're leaving that little ego voice behind. And the ego voice is not who we are. So many people think, I am those thoughts. That is not true. Those thoughts are a parlor trick. In fact, that's your ego playing games. And the ego, if let loose, will send you into addictions and all kinds of other problems. This is not about the ego. It's about putting it aside and allowing your mind to ride the tones of the binaural beats. And that is what allows you to expand conscious awareness. And before long, I don't even hear those tones anymore because I'm far gone into the spiritual realm.
Wow, that's amazing. So cool. When we come back, we're going to give everybody a link so that they have an opportunity to experience this for themselves. But right now, let's hear from the UK Health
Radio. UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Okay, so we're back and we're talking to Dr. Eben Alexander, and he was just talking about binaural beats and how you can actually access this state of NDE while not experiencing an NDE. And the place that you can experience that for yourself is sacredacoustics.com, and there is a free 20-minute meditation there. Again, it's sacredacoustics.com, and you can get that that meditation. So I have a weird question. Do you think that everybody experiences that the same space and time that you experienced? Or do you think there's different dimensions that different people experience?
Well, I think there are many dimensions to this, and I traverse through many of those dimensions multiple times during my journey. But there are certain commonalities you find, and the scientists who study these find rich overlap in these kind of commonalities. One is the notion of kind of ascending through a portal or a tunnel, as I did, going from darkness into light. Another one is and very common across all cultures, is encountering souls of departed loved ones, those who've left the physical world. In fact, I've come to realize that if that happens in a deathbed vision or in an after-death communication of some sort, it often means that that particular patient is really on the threshold of leaving the physical plane. So appearance of loved ones is not a hallucination or wishful thinking. It's actual sign that you've got a deep engagement of that soul. Encountering a godlike force. It's not described usually as a religious figure. Most people don't, for example, encounter Jesus, although many people do. Mary Neal had a beautiful encounter with Jesus. And other people, you know, have seen other religious figures, but they're nowhere near as common as souls of departed loved ones. And that sense of the God force, that is the thing that seems to be so universal, this incredible lesson. And people do not feel that they're judged in a near-death experience, not judged by that higher force, as much as in the light of that beautiful love, of that pure, unconditional love of God. Anything we've done in the life review that looks selfish or greedy or hurtful to others looks especially bad in that light. So in the life review, it's kind of a gentle nudge to us to kind of move towards love, compassion, kindness, you know, taking care of each other and not being exclusive in that, but trying to be as unconditional in our loving as we can. So those are really kind of universal things. I know Christopher Kops, C-O-P-P-E-S, a friend and colleague of mine, he's in the Dutch IONS group, the International Association of Near-Death Studies. He wrote a book called The Essence of Religions that really takes the gold standard of NDEs and their commonalities, compares them with all the religious faiths. And I can highly recommend that book because I think it's very instructive of how NDEs in many ways show us this kind of perfect pathway forward in terms of understanding the relationships. And all the great religions of the world come close to this, but they don't get it quite right. So just knowing about NDEs and knowing about that literature can be very helpful to people in navigating and understanding all this.
Did you get a glimpse into what's the purpose of coming here? So if you're there, so beautiful, so amazing, so pure, but then you return here, what's that about?
What it's all about is this is where souls grow. We don't grow there. That is almost like breathing, breathing in, breathing out, inhale, exhale. And incarnation, you know, a temporary dumbing down to the knowledge of the higher soul to allow us to participate with others in this engagement, learning, teaching, especially the deep lesson for humanity in the current era is that one of love and oneness with the divine. I think that's really the important thing to understand, is that this is where we get the growth done. And is wonderful and loving. And as much as that, when you're there, you realize, oh my God, this is home. And yet I believe that our souls are really chomping at the bit to dive back in, come back in, knowing full well that they're going to end up losing that knowledge they have between lives. And it's going to be that program forgetting so that they fully engage in these lives to live and learn and teach as we do by living these lives. That's what it's all about. But always towards that oneness, always towards love, compassion, and kindness. The exact opposite of what materialist science has perpetuated, you know, is this false myth of separation from each other and a sense of competition from Darwinian concepts, as opposed to realizing collaboration and cooperation are the real clues to success in the biological world. So it's really about that deeper understanding of soul growth and progression. And our view of reincarnation is not like, say, a Buddhist view that might say, get off the wheel of reincarnation. This is all filled with grace and a concept of growth and transformation, evolution, as we grow towards this kind of higher point of existence. And that's why it all has meaning and purpose. And each and every soul is involved in that process of growth and transformation.
So as far as anybody knows, you are the singular human that has ever had this experience medically, you know, global brain damage and then returning. Lots of people with NDEs, but this one specifically. Did you get an idea of why did you have this experience and why did you come back? Meaning, were you supposed to tell this story? Was there a reason for that specifically?
Well, I think that, you know, from my point of view, my near-death experience adds like thousands of other near-death experiences to the knowledge base. The only thing that's you know, kind of exceptional for the scientific community about my near-death experience is the perfectly well-documented evidence that my brain was far too smacked by this horrible disease to have done anything or to then recover. And that part is really a gift. But to really understand this, you need all the people who are reporting these experiences. And that's why it's so important to share them. In fact, the main reason I wrote Proof of Heaven was not so much so the world would know my story. It was to help the medical, well, wake up the medical profession. And again, nurses get this. They're often there with the patients who pass over. So, and many of the nurses I worked with knew all this already. But some of us doctors, I'll speak for myself, need a, you know, more of a thumping, more of an education. So I needed my own personal experience. But I can tell you, based on that BigelowInstitute.org data, the objective scientific data is so strong for this now, you don't need a personal experience anymore to get this. All you need to do is start reading those essays. But a personal experience can greatly help you to engage and change your life in positive directions. And that's why I'm such a huge fan of Sacred Acoustics, and why Karen and I do all these workshops showing people using the NDE scale of 16 elements of things that can happen during an NDE. We use those to help people assess their meditative results, to help them work towards constructing an NDE through multiple episodes of meditation. So we can all do this and come into the same higher knowledge.
That's really outstanding. Is that the same Bigelow as Bigelow Aerospace?
Like it Robert is, Bigelow? Robert Bigelow. Yeah. And it turns out he had lost his wife. His son had committed suicide. You know, he had big questions about afterlife or not. And I would say he's perfectly convinced now, because those essays are without question. There's no way around them. They prove the reality of the afterlife. Everyone can just know now it's been scientifically proven. We need to understand how it works. That involves quantum physics. That involves neuroscience. That involves philosophy of mind, parapsychology, all the evidence for non-local consciousness. These are all things we bring together in our book, Living in a Mindful Universe, to make this case in a very broad and scientific fashion. But it brings spirituality and science together in a very practical form that allows us to come into healing and wholeness in our lifetimes.
Did this experience actually help science expand what's possible for the brain in a situation like yours?
I think it's helped tremendously. And a lot of that is through other NDEs too. There are many cases of people who have recovered, from severe brain injury, malady, what have you, of different forms that have allowed us to realize this kind of spiritual power and ability of mind over matter. So it goes far beyond things like placebo effect. You can find cases of spontaneous remission of advanced cancers and infections. If you go to noetic.org, the Institute of Noetic Sciences website, and put in the search term spontaneous remission, you'll find the work by Brendan O'Regan that was done in the mid-90s. That work is now being updated by Helene Wabe at IONS. But this is all about coming into a richer understanding of the power of mind to bring us into healing and wholeness.
So I have a question about, is it voltage? Is it scalar energy? So the energy that you experienced in your NDE, that whole thing, you said as you came back into your body, you believe that is what healed the body. So there's some effect on the cells, on the electrons, neurons, on the voltage, on the power to get that thing ramped up and get the healing started very, very rapidly, like with Anita Morigiani, an unprecedented quick healing of cancer. Her body was dead. So do you think it has to do with some kind of scalar or voltage or something that your body experiences during this experience?
Well, I think it has more to do with the true concept of mind over matter. And what that means is, the metaphysical position of many people in conventional science is materialism or physicalism. And that's the notion that only the physical world exists. And that would be the notion that anything that happens in this world must involve electrons, protons, photons, quarks, et cetera, all interacting according to the laws of physics, chemistry, and biology. The problem is that really doesn't work to explain consciousness, especially when you get into non-local consciousness, things like telepathy, remote viewing, precognition, presentiment, out-of-body experiences. And then, of course, this huge literature on near-death experiences, shared death, which are like near-death in quality, but happen to people who are perfectly healthy, usually the loved one of someone who's dying. And then, of course, all those past life memories in children indicative of reincarnation. All those pieces of information contribute to an understanding of mind over matter, that the kind of ideal, the mental ideal, is what exists and then drives all of these things to kind of line up and conspire to follow the will of that higher soul. So it really is, I'm not sure about the exact molecular mechanisms involved. That's something that will take time to uncover. But the thing I've realized is to keep following this materialistic model, study the brain, study the brain, study the brain, as if that's going to give us the answers, is not the proper pathway. We need to look more at the results. And a very quick example of why that's not the right pathway, there's a whole series of scientific papers over the last decade looking at people under the influence of psilocybin, magic mushrooms, LSD, DMT, these serotonin 2A psychedelic substances. Anybody who's ever been on those meds, those plant medicines, would think, oh my God, my brain must be lighting up like a Christmas tree to be supporting all this phenomenal experience. That's not the case. Your brain actually goes away during those experiences. And every one of these scientific studies has confirmed, if you're looking for the answer, what explains the profound nature of psychedelic experiences, you can't look at the brain because the brain is simply going dark and getting out of the way. That's a beautiful scientific example of why, if we keep looking at the brain and the material world, we'll find correlations, we'll find things that associate, but we're not going to necessarily find the causes. To find the causes, we have to go much deeper and have a much bigger model of the world. And that's objective idealism, this notion of a connected mind, of one mind that we all share, that the brain is a filter that allows it in. I mean, the evidence for the one mind is crystal clear just from near-death experiences. As I said at the beginning of this session, you know, your ability to telepathically communicate with loved ones still in the physical world, as well as loved ones who have left the physical world. All of that happens in an NDE, and that is simply showing us the reality of the mental realm. And that mental realm is deeply responsible for top-down causality in the emerging reality we experience here. So we need to get rid of our little ego mind and rise to the occasion, to the higher soul, interconnectedness, primordial mind, how we're all in this together, and then that binding force of love starts to deliver health and healing to us the more we practice that in living our lives.
Well, it would certainly occur to me that if we could harness in some way what you experienced, what Anita Moorjani and all the other people who had healings through an NDE, that we could create healing, a profound healing beyond anything we could have ever imagined. So it leads me to ask, is there something like flooding the room with the binaural beats? Is there something that could recreate this energy or experience in a body while they're ill that could intercede in illness? Most NDEs happen like being struck by lightning. You can't plan for it. But if you could create healing. So what do you think about that?
I would say that's a beautiful idea. And the best thing to do is to start today meditating. As my partner Karen Newell points out, why wait to a life review? I mean, I can't imagine a worse fate than being a materialist my whole life, getting there at the end on my deathbed when I witness the reality of loved ones coming, realize it's not a hallucination or dream, but they're really there, and saying, my God, I wasted my whole life not believing in this. So why not start today? Read some of those Bigelow papers, start meditating, use sacred acoustics every day, just ride the tones, let them take you down deep into these states of relaxation and conscious awareness and subconscious and unconscious awareness and connection with primordial mind, and start doing that daily review where you try and live showing kindness, compassion, mercy, acceptance, and forgiveness to all fellow beings, including yourself. And let's start living that way. And then when you get smote down by lightning or whatever else happens, you're fine. You're coasting in golden. And if there's going to be a shot for you to come back to this world and demonstrate miraculous healing, it will come in that setting of having developed that mindset of knowledge, study these cases, understanding what other souls have successfully managed to do. And then you've had the practice of going within. I can't imagine trying to live my life without meditating an hour or two a day. Now, it doesn't have to be that long. You can meditate for 10 or 20 minutes and it does some good. The key is regular practice. And that's what I would recommend. If you go to sacredacoustics.com, you've got a great starting place. And also, that's a very informative website to explore to learn more about meditative techniques, because it's a lot more than just listening to the tones. And if you go to her website, you'll find a lot of clues as to how to greatly kind of magnify the results from these efforts.
Okay, everybody, we've done it again. We've run right up against the line. It happens so fast every time. So we have to close for today, but I want to make sure everybody knows exactly how to reach Dr. Alexander and his wealth of information. Number one, ebenalexander.com, and it's E-B-E-N, right? Ebenalexander.com. Yes.
Heaven, right.
The books are Proof of Heaven, The Map of Heaven, and Living in a Mindful Universe. You need that free 20-minute meditation at sacredacoustics.com. And another great resource for you is Inner, I-N-N-E-R, Inner Sanctum Center.com. Thank you so much, Dr. Alexander, for being here with us. Any last thoughts, Bill?
You know, I just love having him on, and just note, everybody, that he talked about love. Love was that healing force, and that there wasn't any judgment. There wasn't any judgment when you crossed over. You're just having an experience. Understand, love, forgive, and watch the quality of this lifetime for yourself explode. Thank you.
All right, everybody, be safe and be well, and we will see you all again next week. Thanks for being here with us on the New Life Perspective Radio Show. For more information or to find out more about the work that Bill and I do, please visit us at cognomovement.com or email us at info@cognomovement.com. See you again soon.